Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's Two Dudes in a Kitchen with Tyler Florence
and Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, time for another episode of Two Dudes in a Kitchen. It's Wells Adams and Tyler Florence hanging out with you. Tyler, you're back finally from your travels.
Oh,
welcome back.
My God, what a long, strange trip it was. I feel like that Johnny Cash song, like I've been everywhere, man. I was everywhere.
Speaking of traveling, we're going to be traveling over to Italy for today's episode. Very excited for our guest today. She's an expert on olive oil, which you guys know that Tyler and I love very much. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun to explore some of her properties and how she bought a place in Italy to then create this olive oil. Her name is Shayna Taylor. She's a holistic wellness visionary, a chef, a gut expert, and she's got her own lifestyle brand. Shayna's Kitchen is taking the internet by storm. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back on Two Dudes, it's Shayna Taylor. Stick around.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach. that was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Two Dudes in the Kitchen, now joined by a lovely lady, Shayna Taylor. We were just talking about all the things that you have accomplished, but the most exciting thing, I feel like, at least that we want to talk to you about, is this farm that you've purchased in Italy and all the things that you're doing in it. So tell us, please, everything that's going on over in Italy.
Yes. So I decided to take a leap a couple years ago to uproar my entire life, sell my house in LA and move to Italy. It has been definitely a journey, one that I've learned so much about, not only myself, but just kind of the differences between moving to a country that is like behind 50 years, coming from a Western country that is very advanced. But that's not to say that it hasn't been the most beautiful experience of going on this journey of buying land that now has olive trees, ancient olive trees that I own, and then the process of buying also two country houses, farm houses that I would like to turn into a wellness retreat center or villa rental situation, basically where people can come and experience the lifestyle of this biodynamic farm concept and what we do with the animals, the food, and kind of building that relationship with food again, because I feel so many Americans kind of have a bad relationship with food because we obviously live in an overprocessed world. So my goal was to basically open up that horizon for people and kind of bring them back to where we all came from, which is the way that Italians live, which is growing all their own food. They only, you know, source things locally. They have a lot of built around community of having meals with family and friends. And it's just a different pace of life over here in the Italian countryside.
I was reading kind of like the behind the scenes, the background story at your website, shaynaskitchen.com, about how you came across this piece of property in Italy. Can you do like the abridged version for our listeners? Because it's so cool. It's like one of those, it's like almost happenstance, but it was like meant to be, it seems like.
Definitely. So when I decided to sell my house, I was actually going on vacation with my family for Christmas to Italy because they knew that I wanted to move to Italy. So I wanted to bring them to experience Italy, I knew. And so I decided to put my house on the market right before Christmas time. And I was like, if it sells, I'm going to just go with the suitcase and like wing it and see if it's a place that I want to stay and like, oh, look at properties and let it evolve over time. No plan whatsoever, which is a, you know, risky situation. So my house sold 2 weeks later, right before Christmas. So I literally was like, okay, I'm going to have it all packed up. I'm going to put it in storage in Nashville because I knew that I didn't want to come back to LA. So I was either going back to Nashville and moving my residency there or staying in Italy and going on this journey of trying to figure out what it looks like for me to move there and my businesses and all that. So when I was there with my family, I stumbled in this real estate office in Montepulciano and told them that I wanted to look at some properties with my family since we were there and didn't have much to do. They sent me a long list. I knew I wanted to be in Umbria. I didn't really have any other guidelines other than that. And so I kind of went through all these, houses that were for sale and I picked two for us to look at. The first house I actually looked at with my family ended up being the one that I acquired to buy. And what's crazy is that there's all these like synchronicities where I looked at it, but it was raining. Then I told myself like, okay, I feel really good about this, but my logical mind was like, you have to look at least like five or six other properties. I mean, you can't just like, you know, execute on this first one. So they told me that it was a rental as well, the property that they had rented it sometimes for vacation rentals. So I asked them if I could rent it for the week of New Year's with some friends of mine so I could get a feel of the property. And then in that time, I found out that all the land around it, which as the 900 olive trees that I now sell olive oil with through Shayna's Kitchen, was for sale as well. And so it just felt like these things that were just telling me over and over again, like, okay, this is like my dream scenario. I'm a chef. So I obviously always have wanted my garden, and I really wanted a farm so that I could produce biodynamic products and sell them so that people could have high quality and understand what that meant. So it was this journey of like, okay, the land's for sale. It's perfect. Like, how much of the land is for sale? And it just kind of kept evolving and kept evolving. And I ended up in February 22nd, 2022. So it's literally like a 2-year anniversary, put an offer on the house and in the land, and they accepted my offer.
So you have no house in the United States. You're only living in Italy full time.
So I have a house actually in Nashville. Well, it's actually my mom's home, to be honest. So I just have my residency still in Nashville for the moment. And then I'm going back and forth and basically splitting my time between Europe and the US for now. I'm still working on moving my residency currently because it's a bit complex to move your residency and all the Italian tax and stuff like that. So I'm trying to figure out the best way.
That's kind of the dream, you know, just to pack it all up and buy a farm in France or buy a farm in Italy, you know. Congratulations on that. Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been fun.
I think it's a really interesting time if anybody's ever interested in a big, huge lifestyle change. I know a lot of people are, you know, interested in kind of raising their children in a different culture, in a different environment right now. And I know it is dirt cheap to buy, complex, right? But cheap to buy a piece of property, especially in Umbria, for example, right? There's like, it seems like there's a generation of Italians that aren't moving to the countryside. They're just sort of staying in Rome and staying in Milan. And those like beautiful medieval villages, they're kind of empty net right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many beautiful miniature towns all over Italy, and they all have their uniqueness about them. And they have very few local people that have just been there for histories or old people or whatever. So when you find these cute little towns, and most of them have land around them, because Italy is mostly agriculture, it's the biggest agriculture, you know, in Europe almost, of like sustainability. And they push a lot to have agriculture in Italy. So it's fairly, fairly cheap. They also are doing incentives right now, I believe in Sicily area, like Southern Italy, where they're allowing foreigners to basically come and buy property for nothing. And then they also are giving a flat tax rate because a lot of people don't want to move the residency to Italy because of the tax being so high, but they're giving people who are willing to invest into the country, basically incentives to get flat tax rates.
So exciting, cool. Right? Let's do it, Wells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's go. Yeah.
Two dudes, Italian farm.
I love that idea.
Join the
dudes,
movement.
Two dudes
join
in Italy. The there you go. That's what we're doing. That's next. That's the next podcast.
Shayna, I know that you're, you know, a holistic wellness visionary, a chef, a gut health expert. You have this lifestyle brand. But were you an olive farmer before all this? Or is this a new thing?
It's a totally new thing. I've learned a lot, you can imagine.
Take us through the process of now creating olive oil. Because, I mean, as both Tyler and I absolutely love olive oil, my father actually has a place up in Cloverdale, up in wine country, and he makes olive oil, but it is a pretty complex thing to do.
It's complex. It's ancient. And it's incredibly special. I want to hear everything. Because I heard about ancient olive oil. And I want to know what makes it ancient, because it sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So the ancient olive oil means that the trees have been there for over 200 to 300 years, some of them. So they are very old, very big, very ancient, and they still produce a beautiful and abundant amount of olives. What I've learned is that obviously the older the plant, the more polyphenol count is in them, because their roots are much deeper, which is where a lot of those nutrients come from. And then also the flavor profile, of course, changes. So the older trees typically have more of a buttery, creamy texture. And then the younger olive trees have more of that like kick, really spice, pepper, hit the back of your throat. But when the polyphenol count is actually higher, it gives you still that sense of kick. Because as a chef, for me, I love when there's a bit of a kick. I like it when it's like that perfect in between of like pepper, smooth butter with a little bit of a kick. And so I got really lucky with the trees that I found, and they have kind of all those things. What I love too about the olive oil processing is that there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. There's a lot of machinery you can use. There's a lot of like modern day things, but I really like to keep it as old as possible. And in biodynamics, you really try to not disrupt a lot of the ecosystem that you're working with. So we do all hand picking for everything. We don't use any type of machinery. And then when we cut our olive trees as well, we use this specific technique that is supposed to help them actually grow a lot more and not disrupt the process and actually get to cut them less. So that's another thing that I learned that's super interesting, as there's so many different ways that you can also cut the trees, and then fertilization, and you pretty much just let them run wild. I mean, mine have been wildly organic and untouched for about 25 years. So this year was the first year we actually got to prune a lot of the trees that have just been growing wild. And it's the people who came to, of course, look at the trees, the experts, they were just dumbfounded by how beautiful the trees were and big. But some of the olives were actually so far at the top of these trees that we couldn't harvest them because we couldn't reach them by hand. So this year we had to really like cut back the trees a lot this year, so that next year it grows a little bit lower so we can make sure we get the olive oil processing.
Have you seen those mechanical tree shakers that just sort of, they'll, it's like this big, huge arm that wraps around the base of the tree and then shakes the top of it and all the olives fall down?
Yeah, I have seen it. So it's controversial in the Italian way of doing things, because they do say that it does actually damage the tree and it's not the most beneficial way to do them. Although people who use that machinery would argue and say that it doesn't obviously cause any damage to the tree and it's the easiest, fastest way to produce. But I kind of like the process of taking our time and harvesting it by hand and like really giving love to the tree versus feeling like you need to get it done in like a super extracted, fast shaking a tree type of way. But that's just my own, just way of liking to do it.
How many like bottles of olive oil does your farm yield? Like what is it? Did you say 900 trees?
Or something like that? We have a little over 900 trees. So last year, I don't know if you saw the statistics on this, but last year was actually the worst olive oil production year in, I don't even know, I think over 100 years or something like that in Italy. And it drove the olive oil prices up by 50% because most people didn't actually get any production because of the weird weather patterns that Italy experienced. So we got really lucky and we still produced a good amount of beautiful olives. I think because of the positioning of my property is in a valley. And so the water that we collected every time it rained, it kind of stays and it's quite wet in that valley. It doesn't run fully down. And we also get this beautiful wind that comes from the lake that's near my property, which also adds a flavor profile and detail to the olive oil that's very unique. And so this year we got 3,200 bottles of 500 milliliter for 900 trees. So that's a very small, obviously, batch production, but we feel like depending on the weather this year, you don't really know in the world we live in now. Hopefully we'll get a better idea of what the actual production is, considering that last year was actually one of the worst in Italy.
That's and what's the variety of olives that you're harvesting?
So we have three different varieties, but there's like a specific one, Manaloyo, but it's just like an old tradition, like very old. They actually used it for fertilizing other olive trees. So they used to place them all over the different mixtures of bigger olive groves to make sure that the olives are always fertilized, but they produce like a really beautiful, particular type of olive flavor profile. And then we have Lecciano and Fermentino.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's a blend of all of those inside your olive oil?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It's a blend of all three of the trees. So we're thinking that maybe next year I want to try them individually and see the flavor differences between the three and maybe do specialty blends or individual of just like one olive and kind of see how they change. But right, for this year's harvest, we did all three blended together.
That's nice. Like, so you really get a chance to taste the terroir and taste the countryside and all the different elements. Cause I think if you get a really nice farm, like, so we make olive oil at Miller and Luxor Steakhouse. We make two different olive oils. We make one for a Caesar salad, and then one we call steak oil, which is an Arbequeño. So it's a little spicier. It's got a nice little kick on the outside of it. And then we'd blend it with rosemary and thyme and sage and garlic. So it's like really tastes like, as what we call California steak sauce, like a real thick lick of spicy olive oil. It tastes like fresh cracked black pepper on top of the steak. It's really nice. But I've been down there to in Fresno, I don't know, like 5 or 6 times to watch the actual process of making extra virgin olive oil or harvesting olives and going to the pressing. It is so fascinating. Like you go to the grocery store, you buy olive oil, you come home, you cook with it. But then when you go to the farm and they're taking the olives off the tree and they're taking them to the processing facility. And then depending on it, now are these guys stone crushed with a big gigantic wheel, or they is it more of a modern process where the olives get pierced?
Yeah, it's a more modern extra virgin processing. They do have the old ancient mill. Actually, the mill that I use is local to Perugia, which is the main city of Umbria. And they're the oldest mill in history. I think it's like their family's been doing it since the 1200s, the same family, which is really cool and like very historic. But they have the old stone mill that they have mm-hmm. just on display. But they said it, when you do the old, I actually originally really wanted to do the oldest tradition, so do the old stone milling, but you get like, I think 30 or 40% less production when you do it like that.
Yeah. And plus you get the flavor of the seeds and the sticks and the stems and all that kind of stuff. So it's not just pure. And that would be this massive stone that was carved out. And then another massive stone that is drawn by a horse in a circle where they would just take the olives and dump them into the stone vat. And then the olives would get crushed. And then they take the pulp, like the really sticky olive oil pulp. And then when they would layer them on these big, huge wooden beams and these porous mats, and every mat would get, you know, probably like maybe 2 or 3 quarts of this olive mash. And they would go on top of each other. And then a big, huge press would come down and just start to crush them. And then the olive juice, the olive oil would start to kind of leach out of this and would just smell fantastic. Now, that's the ancient way of making it, right? And the new modern way of making it is the olives get dumped into this thing that kind of looks like a milk truck. It's like a big, huge stainless steel vat, massive, massive vat. And then there's a tumbler on the inside with these little small needles, and the olives get pierced. So they're not crushed, but they're pierced, and then they get crushed. So the olives, so you get this really kind of pure extract and probably a higher yield too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In the end, you get a much higher yield than the old way. But mm-hmm. the old way is fascinating to think that's what the technology they came up with to be able to extract the oil from the olive. It's insane.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take the olive oil from the farm to the kitchen. When we've talked about this a good bit on the show, and we actually had the founder of Poppy Sodas on the show a couple episodes back, and I have issues with gut health and upset tummy, and those Poppy Sodas actually have done, by the way, world difference for me. But shout I saw that Poppy. you do have an olive oil recipe that is for like gut health, and I thought we could kind of go through it real quick just for all the listeners out there who might be like me and suffering from a little bit of upset tummy.
Mm-hmm. Just so everyone knows, most of America, unfortunately, has a lot of different gut problems. So it's normal, which it shouldn't be normal, but a lot of us suffer with those things. I suffered with major gut health problems when I was living in the States as well. And since I've moved, they've actually all gone away.
Really?
Which is just, yeah. And I always had chronic something when I was in the States.
I just want to know, was your issue gluten?
I couldn't eat gluten, dairy, sugar, corn, pretty much nothing. I had to home cook all my meals.
And now that you've gone over to Italy where everything is fresh and it's not pumped full of steroids and antibiotics and everything, you're fine.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating.
The food in Italy and Europe in general is of much, much higher quality.
Yes, because it does. It's not overprocessed and manufactured like we've done it in the US, where a lot of people comparative to Europe and different countries in Europe. So, and we also are based off of convenience. So people have capitalized obviously on creating food that is based off of people's conveniences, because we're all working around the clock to basically become successful. And there's some downfalls to those things that we didn't really think about, I think, when we got started doing microwavable dinners and top ramen and all these convenient foods, but there's no nutrients in them. And when you don't give your microbiome the nutrients it needs, I mean, you're supposed to have 72 different varieties of food in a week to feed your microbiome. So that's a lot of mixtures of seeds, nuts, fruits, vegetables, meats, like a mixture of things that you're supposed to eat in a week. And most people don't get that.
You mean Cheetos, pizza, chicken nuggets?
That's not good. Oh,
that's exactly my
that's
point.
That's not part of the 72? That's not part of the 72?
There's no nutrients in that. That's literally just corn, gluten, processed bad seed oils, and fried food. I mean, there's nothing that feeds the microbiome in that. So over time, we all end up having bad microbiome. And unfortunately, that causes a lot of gut health, skin issues, digestive problems like you're suffering with, unfortunately. And I was one of those too. I mean, what actually was the biggest thing for me, I would go to Europe, eat everything that I wanted, lose weight, feel amazing, have glowing skin. Then I would go back home to LA, go back to like my salads and homemade juices and sourcing from all these crazy farms that I could find where I thought the produce was good. And I would be inflamed and bloated. And I was like, what is this? It cannot be normal. Like, how is it that I'm eating technically 10 times healthier when I'm in LA and my body is more inflamed? And I eat like a nutrient dense diet. I'm a nutritionist, holistic nutritionist and chef. So like, I understand the importance of calories and balance, but wow, I couldn't, it really was shocking to me. So until I moved here, basically I had all my gut health stuff went away.
Well, let's fix the gut a little bit. I do want to talk about this gut healing morning wellness shot.
Yes. So I have been doing this actually since before I decided to produce my own olive oil, but I really got into it once I actually knew wholeheartedly where the olive oil came from. As we know, 80% of the olive oil in America is fake by study, because there's so many olive oils that mix different oils inside of it, or they are, of course, sourced from not one single origin like Italy or Spain or the US or California. They're like sourced from seven different countries, which obviously these are not high quality oils, people. You got to really like look at the facts and see where it's, you know, coming from, and try to source the best when you want to use something from a holistic perspective. So for me, mine obviously is extra virgin, certified organic, ancient, and all the things. So I started doing this olive oil on an empty stomach and mixing it with lemon, sometimes a little bit of cayenne pepper. And this is a beautiful way to not only kill bad bacteria or fungus in the stomach, because olive oil has those natural antifungal, antibacterial aspects, but it also has really good fats in it and good nutrients and polyphenols, which actually feed the good microbiome in our stomachs, and also helps to protect the gut throughout the day, so it doesn't destroy or cause any inflammation to the gut lining, which is where a lot of our problems come from. And this is super important, of course, when you're like gluten intolerant and you want to absorb the most nutrients, because when your gut lining is not in a good place, you don't absorb things and it's hard for your stomach to digest, and this causes leaky gut. So when you put something first thing in your stomach, when you haven't eaten for however many hours, depending on when you had dinner the night before, this really sets up the stomach for absorbing nutrients, killing those bad bacteria, feeding the good microbiome. And then of course, a lemon has its own benefits, like alkalizing the stomach and getting those juices flowing in the stomach, etc. So now I've been doing this for a couple years now, and it has helped my stomach so much. It also helps with bowel movements, because it basically just oils and liquefies all of your intestines, which helps move bowel movements.
There you go, buddy.
It's so funny because you hear this and I'm like, that's crazy. Like, and I think a lot of listeners too are like, that's crazy. I'm drinking oil in the morning. But my Portuguese grandmother did this for years. She would always take a shot of olive oil. And I grew up in, you know, around a bunch of Italians that would also, or Sicilians really, that would also do this. And it's funny to hear, like, I always thought it was just like, to help you poop, really, was what my grandma always said, or like helps with hangovers. But it totally makes sense that like it definitely just helps with like overall gut health in general. And yeah, it's nothing new, but it's new to hear like on a podcast, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. It's also really good for acid reflux. Like a lot of people who get acid reflux, they drink the olive oil lemon shot basically, and it's supposed to help with that too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Ancient practices.
Can we buy your olive oil, or do you have to be in Italy to get it?
No, I actually imported 90% of it into America. And so it's available on my website, shanethkitchen.com now.
I love that. I love, love, love olive oil.
I'm happy to send you guys both some. The olive, honestly, it's so good. It's so good. Like it's so funny to say this because it seems like such a basic thing to say, but like, I feel like when I've tried so many olive oils, it's like, yes, they're tasty and whatever, but they don't actually taste like olives. Like when I taste my olive oil, I'm like, it's such an experience of like all the flavor profiles of what an olive is supposed to taste like, plus all these other dynamic things that go into it. It's a totally different type of experience when it's boutique like this.
I'm going to ask you a couple of super basic olive oil questions that I get all the time, because I just love to hear your version of the answer on it. Like, how do you store olive oil properly?
So I wouldn't recommend buying an olive oil that's not in a amber or dark glass, because when you leave it on a countertop or something and it sees sunlight, you're basically killing the nutrients of it. So if it is a glass bottle that's see-through, I would recommend storing it in a cabinet in the dark. That's going to be the best way to store it. And then, I mean, they say in theory, once you open it, so once you break that seal and the oxygen goes into the olive oil, you should use it within a year, because within a year, most of the benefits of the olive oil start to die.
I can go through a bottle of olive oil in one meal if I'm cooking for like 10, 12 people, right? Same you, right?
Me too.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I have like six empty Shana's Kitchen olive oil bottles in my kitchen right now.
Who keeps
from like the last month?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple of, like, I collect olive oil. So I have like some super expensive olive oils that I'll buy a bottle of it. I'm like, you know, this olive oil is like $50. Okay. Let's see what it is, you know? And cause I'm there's a sucker born every minute. And when it comes to olive oil, that's me. And I love the flavor and I love the taste. And even if it's expensive, I just want to know why. Especially yeah, like
totally.
The rarity of it or the terroir or the story or the farmer or whatever it is. And to me, it's all really special. So the next simple olive oil question that I get all the time, can you heat it up? Can you cook with it?
Yes. So this is the one thing about wellness and health and like facts is that one study comes out and then everything goes viral. And then they say it's not good to cook with, but olive oil, we get it tested for the smoke point is 400 degrees. So it does not actually smoke until that's high. So you can saute and cook pretty much everything. I mean, I even fry stuff with my olive oil, as long as it's not like a crazy high temperature to fry, but like a basic saute, little, you know, crisp in a pan. I use pretty much everything with the olive oil.
What's the best thing to drizzle olive oil over if it's going to be raw?
My God, everything. What's not good with... olive oil. I feel like pretty much everything. I even drizzle olive oil in my desserts. I mean, I pretty much put olive oil on everything. Are you the same?
Olive oil over ice cream. If you haven't had it, don't knock it. It's delicious. Whoa. Olive oil, vanilla ice cream, and salt.
Delicious.
Banging.
Have you had the basil ice cream with olive oil?
Yeah, that's amazing.
So good. Tomato ice cream with olive oil. I've tried so many different ones that I think are incredible.
Fantastic. That reminds me of this beautiful meal I had in Antibes in the south of France, and the chef made basil ice cream and it just blew me away, which is like sweet basil cream. So good. Frozen, neon green,
so good.
With olive oil and salt over top of it. I feel like I was just in heaven. It tastes like South France. Okay. So, what's your like simple question I get with olive oil? So you use it for about a year, keep it in a dark place. Can you cook with it? I think it's a check. Now, do you use butter ever, or are you just like strictly olive oil?
I mean, I would say I use olive oil 80% of the time because I just like the flavor profile of it, but I do really love a good raw grass-fed butter. I use a lot of sheep's milk butter here because obviously we live in sheep's land in Italy. They love everything Pecorino cheese.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many health benefits to butter. Yeah. People shouldn't be afraid. When it's grass-fed, it's good. They should use it too.
It's good fat.
Good fat.
Fantastic.
Also really good for the gut.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Shayna, thank you so much for coming on Two Dudes in the Kitchen and telling your story. This has been very, very cool. And I'm very, very envious of the direction of which your life took, because I feel like this is what everyone wants to do. Get the hell out of Los Angeles and go move to Italy and make olive oil with ancient trees. Sounds so cool.
I agree, man. Right now, if you are thinking about a big, huge lifestyle change, and a lot of people are, Italy is a bargain if you want to go buy a house. I'm not saying it's easy. So is Portugal. So is France. Definitely take a look at that. Even if you're looking at buying like a second home or a vacation home, it's a once in a generation chance to like buy a piece of farm property in Umbria. I know there's like really beautiful little farm towns. It's great.
Yeah. And if you guys out there want to follow Shayna's story, you can follow her on social media at...
So my personal Instagram's Shayna Therese Taylor, which is my full name. And then my food and everything related to the kitchen is shaynas.kitchen.
Amazing. And if you can't afford to go buy a house in Italy, then you can at least get a couple of bottles of her olive oil at that website. We know you're in Italy and it's late, so get some sleep. But thank you so much for coming on Two Dudes in a Kitchen.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the love and appreciation for Italy and olive oil.
It is my magic happy place. I mean, we bounce in between going to France one year and then going to Italy the next. I love Rome. I love Florence. I cook there with the late great Fabio Picchi at Cibreo and Florence. I've staged there. I've cooked there. It's where I go fill up my creative tank. You know, when I need to go just like learn more and see more and eat more. It's the greatest place in the world. Yeah. The Italians taught the world how to cook and the French just wrote it down.
Yeah, literally. That's exactly what the Italians say too. I mean, to be fair, they are like the Italian food way surpasses French food. No offense, French people. I love your country and you have really good bread, but it's just not the same. Have you been to Umbria yet? The region in Italy?
I've been all over Italy. Yeah. Many times. Umbria is fabulous.
Yeah, it's way more raw than Tuscany. So like, I feel like it's Tuscany is beautiful, but it's very overdone and everyone kind of knows about it, where I feel like Umbria is very still like raw and authentically Italy. And it's very beautiful and very green. Mm-hmm. They call it the green heart of Italy for a reason. So,
yep. And spectacular wine too.
Yes. Spectacular wine. We also, I'm planning to do a vineyard at some point.
Oh, great. Congratulations. That's awesome. That's exciting. That's great. I mean, so
yeah.
Do you ever make it back to Nash Vegas, or are you just like, you know, you're just Nash there? Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. I go back and forth for sure. But I also travel a lot just around Europe in general and different places around the world. I host retreats in different places. I have actually two retreats in Umbria, March and April. They're wellness retreats. So I travel around a lot, but Italy is like my main base. Then I basically spend half my time here and half my time a lot of other places, but yeah.
That's great. Well, good for you. Congratulations for taking your life in your hands and doing what you want to do and just going. I mean, how scary was that to sell your house and going, okay, I've got cash in my pocket. I don't know where I'm going to go. I know I'm going to live in Italy. I'm just going to go shop for a house and figure it out. How scary was that?
Yeah, it was pretty scary, to be honest, especially because I was doing it alone. It wasn't like I was in a relationship and moving with like a couple or a friend or something. I literally just decided like, I don't want this life in LA anymore. And I'm just going to like roll with it and see what happens. And I am such an Aries. So I like am a doer and a driving force. And I'm just like, I'll figure it out when I get my head around something. But it all worked out. It was just a lot of learning curves. And, you know, like I didn't even have a visa when I decided to stay. So I had to like go back to the States, try to organize a visa. What did that mean? What kind of visa did I need? It was like, I did everything backwards, which I don't recommend for people who are interested in moving abroad. I definitely would, you know, organize yourself a little bit better than I did.
Did it the hard way. But is that the hard way? Because that's the way I want to go.
I did it the hard way because that's basically what I do everything in life. I'm like, what's the most challenging? Give me that one.
Well, let us know when your wellness retreats and your like B&Bs are available, because Tyler and I will come and we'll come hang out with you.
Yeah, come. I really want to start doing like collaborative efforts with different types of chefs and like artists in their field and do like different events on the property. So bring like artists that are painters or sculptors, bring different chefs from like around the world and like do these kind of cool creative events together and obviously like document it and like create some sort of cool community for people. So you can definitely come and cook or do some sort of thing. So we'll definitely stay in touch. I think it'd be really fun to have you guys there and you can see the property and experience the farm.
Yeah. Two dudes in Italy.
Yeah.
Honestly, it would be a really good series. Italy's having a moment. So
it is. I'm in.
Let's make go. A TV show. There you go.
There you go.
Let's call HBO Great Discovery. Idea. We can do it.
Yeah.
Shannon, thank you so much for coming on Two Dudes in a Kitchen. We really appreciate it. We're excited to get our hands on your olive oil and get some sleep. We know it's late out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, now I want to go buy a house in Italy. Let's go do it.
You know what? Italy, France, Germany, Tokyo, and China, like there's a population imbalance right now. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, so there's way more people that are aging than people that are young enough to replace that population, specifically in some of these really rural towns. Like you're seeing these deals, like Japan is the hardest country in the world to get a visa, specifically if you want to go buy property. And now they're inviting, foreign nationals to come in just to go like take over some of these small towns that have nobody there.
Yeah.
So you could literally get like a steal. France is the same way. Germany's kind of upside down right now, that population mix. But I definitely get, and my wife and I'm sure you guys are the same way. Do you just look at real estate all the time?
It's on my Instagram feed. It'll be like 100,000 euros for this castle in Germany. I'm like, you want to go? We can do this.
we can
sell
this
thing.
Yeah.
This monstrosity.
Let's get out of here. Yo, man, life is too short. Like I think when you go to the great societies in the world and what they do is they work to live, right? So what they do doesn't define who they are as a person, but what defines them as a person are the most important conversations in life. And it's always about food.
Yeah.
So like all these, like in France and Italy, they'll work 4, 5, 6 hours a day. They don't make it their life. And then the big conversations about, you know, who's got the best bread, who's got the best cheese, who's got the best pasta, where's the best meal, who's coming over, family, all this kind of stuff. Like those things are really important. And Italy's so great at that. I just love it.
Yeah. This is a fun episode. Thank you guys all for listening. Please follow, subscribe, tell your friends to listen to Two Dudes in the Kitchen. We'll be back next week with some listener questions. See you guys. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Two Dudes in a Kitchen. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars.
We'll take that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.